You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. Looking ahead to all the action coming up on Wednesday, there really is something for everyone as we go to Lingfield, Ludlow, Haydock, Dundalk and Newcastle. Live from 11:30 on Racing Radio, Mark Walton, Gareth Topham and Chris Pimlott will be taking you through the action, previewing the races and offering selections as well. But for now, here on the podcast, I'm John Gibby, joined in the studio by Luke Elder. Hello, Luke, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Yeah, good. You're an infrequent enough visitor to the podcast studio these days.
There's a good reason for that.
Yeah.
I'm a terrible tipster.
Well, you're in the right place then.
Yeah, well, albeit I keep reminding James Millman that he's currently second bottom in the Naps table, and I'm happily mid-table.
I had thought that on James Millman's triumphant return to the Naps table, he might be able to...
Well, the good thing about Millman is that he never wastes an opportunity to brag about something. And he doesn't have many things to brag about in his life. But he was top of the table after one day, I think.
Yeah.
And he sent me a direct message on Twitter. And it goes, see me back at my rightful place, the top of the Naps table. So I wasted no time in welcoming him to the bottom of the Naps table the other day when he dropped down. And I got called a few rude names, which you wouldn't expect from James Millman, would you?
And which we can't repeat here, Luke, because this is a family
show. I wasn't going
to.
This is not a family show. Yeah, this is not a family show at all.
Right, in a minute we're going to have an early look at the Tingle Creek, of course, Grade 1 action coming up on the weekend. But for now, Luke, we've got to get your nap and your next best selections for Wednesday's action. And I know you've been badgering away very hard to try and find out the value, in even though the show's not up yet.
I've literally no idea about the betting. Other than that,
what's going to win?
The first one I thought was a bit of a monumental failure from my part on the season, because for a friend who does the book called The Final Flight, it's a jumps preview guide that we gave away on William Hill Radio a few months ago. I put up five horses to follow. Mixed success so far, but Gabriel is one of them, and he was a novice chaser to follow. And I was talking to Andrew Thornton a while ago, who I think he used to ride the horse, now is with Evan Williams. He was convinced he was going to go novice chasing as well. Then suddenly he comes in, I think Adam Wedger told him that he was going to go for the West Yorkshire Hurdle, which he then did, and it was pulled up behind Colin's Sister, which I didn't quite expect or see coming. He was then beaten out of sight last time around in the race that was the Fixed Brush Handicap Hurdle at Haydock, which was run over regulation hurdles again this season.
So the same race, just now over regular
same hurdles. Same race, but with normal hurdles, yes, instead of mini fences, so to speak. But that was off a mark of 1.48, which over hurdles I think might be a little bit stiff for him. And I always thought he'd be the horse to make into a nice chaser. I think, talking to Andrew, he mentioned this horse to me a while ago, before he made his bumper debut. I think he's related to Simon, but the one concern I have for tomorrow is that the ground is good. I think he might want a little bit of dig in the ground, so any rain would help around the Ludlow area. But it's a four-runner race. It's a race he's going to get to dominate because he likes going out in front. Mr. Mix is a useful individual for Paul Nichols. He was pulled up last time out in the Badger Rails at Wincanton. Bryony Frost on board, she can do no wrong at the moment, but she takes £5 off. That would still only take Mr. Mix's weight down to 11.3 when Gabriel's carrying 10.12, as are the other two in the contest. And Resolution Bay wouldn't be too far away, albeit he wouldn't be a frequent winner whatsoever for Philip Hobbs. Tom O'Brien on board. I just get the feeling that Gabriel's going to be a really nice chaser to go to war with going forward. He'd be more of a sort of novice that would go into handicap company, if you understand, going forward. At the start of the year, I thought he might be even a novice that could run in something like a Welsh National or a Classic Chase further down the line, which is quite ambitious, but he wouldn't be something that I've got in line or would have in mind for like an RSA or something of that sort of standard. But I still think he's going to be a very nice chaser, and he's one that I'm going to be watching very closely tomorrow.
You mentioned concerns about the ground. He has won a listed novice hurdle on good ground in the past as well. And a seven-year-old only had 11 races in his life, remains fairly lightly raced.
Yeah, I think he's had one or two issues. Not serious problems, but niggly little ones that maybe have kept him out for a little bit of time. But he started off life with Tom Simmons, and he ran in a really good bumper at Newbury. Beaten 15 lengths, but by Ballyandy, who, as we know, is a useful horse that season. He went on to win the champion bumper at Cheltenham. Careers have gone in different directions, but Gabriel is always going to be an out-and-out stayer. Obviously, Simon, who I think is in the family as well. Simon won a Racing Post Chase a few years ago, and plenty of years ago now as well, but I'd rather it be soft ground, but as you say, he can handle good ground. But I think he'll make into a really nice chaser in time.
Gabriel, then, is that the next best or is that the Nap?
That's the Nap.
That's the Nap.
That's the safer option.
We've started high and we're going lower.
The safer option, first time out of a fence.
Yeah, exactly. This can only be going good places.
What could possibly go wrong?
And I believe we head to Haydock for your NB.
Yes, that is Just Georgie, who caught my eye at Weatherby a couple of outings ago behind Carlos de Frutier. Form that's working out okay now. And then went to Bangor last time out. And I quietly fancied Just Georgie, but I didn't really think that the track would overly suit. And just found Cyril Delac a little bit too good. Was beaten the length and a quarter. Danny Cook was on board that day. Danny Cook's on board once again. But Just Georgie, I think, is going to be the typical Sue Smith chaser, in a sense. Has run over fences in the past and run some decent races as well, but I think everything's absolutely perfect for Just Georgie tomorrow. It's soft ground, it's a real galloping track like Haydock, and in fairness, he's been in good form so far this season. This is probably an easier race than he has been contesting as well for Bangor, with respect. It was a very good race for the track last time. A round off a mark of 110, I still think, is pretty well handicapped. And Sue Smith has got a yard in fine fettle at the moment. Most of them are just needing that first and second run back, and then we see them somewhere near their best. So Just Georgie, of a mark of 110, I think can still do a bit of damage. I'm not sure not a clue what sort of price Just Georgie is going to be, but I imagine it would be, at a guess, around maybe 7-8 to 1.
This is the longest trip he's encountered in his life under rules so far, but it's a point-to-point winner over 3 miles, so that's what I encourage.
I think the step-up in trip's going to help him out as well. He does nothing but gallop. He ran over 2 miles or 2-3, I think it was, at Weatherby a couple of runs back. That was over hurdles as well, and he ran creditably. He stepped up in trip ever so slightly, albeit on a tight track like Bangor last time around, and I thought he ran an absolute blinder behind Cyril Delac. I don't think he was completely in love with the track either. So, as I say, Haydock will suit him a bit more.
Just Georgie, then, the next best selection for Luke Elder, runs in Haydock's 2:25 on Wednesday. And Luke, did you mention to me you have a put it in your tracker option as well?
Yeah, I do have a put it in your tracker option, don't I? That is a horse that I used to follow a while ago. It was called Miss Capistel, for, I think it was, Andrew Balding, and she was an out and out stayer. But there's a horse called Isoletta who runs in the 12:40 at Lingfield. Has only had 4 starts so far for Ed Walker. Is the first offspring of Miss Capistel by Oasis Dream, so there's plenty of speed influence on the sire side of thing. She's been off for a little while, 131 days. Whether she may well need the run before we see her at her best in nursery company, that remains to be seen. I kind of get the feeling from stall 11 as well, she may just need the run tomorrow, but she'd be one that I keep or be keeping on side. She ran a bit of a shocker first time up at Nottingham over 5 furlongs, but it was more of a shock that she was running over 5 furlongs with the breeding. But then over 6 a couple of times, she showed plenty of ability, and then ran in the nursery at Newmarket last time around behind Noble Manners and Di Fede. Di Fede's gone on to win since. That form's looking okay now, with the likes of Joe Spirit back in 4th place as well. I'd be severely disappointed if she wasn't better than her mark of 66 would suggest. She's at 7 furlongs once again. She may even be better when tackling a mile in time. But say her dam's all stamina, and her sire side of things, but all speed. So Isoletta would be one that I'd keep on side. And as you say, put in your tracker.
Luke Elder there with a selection that he likes, but he doesn't want any of you to blame if it loses tomorrow.
If it wins, I'll still take the credit.
Exactly. That's the put it in your tracker option. Right, so we turn our attention now to the weekend, Luke, and not to say that we haven't got plenty of entertaining and, if not quality, certainly substantial fare to keep us going through the week, But it is these big Saturdays.
Well, that... it's a two-day meeting at Sandown, isn't it?
Indeed.
I'm attending both days.
Are you?
Best weekend of racing, especially in the National Hunt season. Coming up, because they've got Aintree, they've got the Grand Sefton and the Beecher Chase.
The best weekend there is.
At least in the National Hunt season.
It's a big shout.
At least in the National Hunt season. I mean, Arc weekend's quite good, isn't it?
Are we looking for weekends where there is more than one substantial meeting?
Yeah, I mean, we've got the Peterborough Chase on Sunday at Huntingdon as well.
Yeah,
that's a good meeting.
And then, the Aintree meeting as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Grand Sefton, Beecher Chase, I think there's a listed 3-mile chase there as well. And
Is that the Mendic Clouds race? It's now Grade 2, in fact.
Is it Grade 2?
Yeah. They've been upgraded.
I think a few years ago, that was the race where they jumped half the fences because of low sun.
Yeah.
Mathil Yule travelled into the race and I think may have finished last in the end. But I think the Nichols horse won it.
That one horse that Paul Nichols has.
He was a good juvenile
hurdler. Small local trainer, Paul Nichols.
Cannot remember the name of it for my life. It's Southfield Theatre's colours. Sam Winner, that was it.
Yeah.
I wanted to call it Sam Spinner, but I knew it wasn't Sam Spinner.
No, Sam Spinner was the only
Sam
one.
Sam Spinner's still
the
around.
Race the other
yeah,
day.
The not fixed brush.
Yeah, the non-fixed, but the yeah. regular hurdles.
The not fixed brush hurdle.
Well, race. I've seen a few people being put up for the status hurdle over the last couple
Sam
of days.
Sam Spinner.
Yeah. Anyway, right. Yeah. So, Sandown, Tingle Creek.
Oh, is that going on, is it?
Huh?
Is that going on, is it?
Yes, it Tingle is. Creek? Yeah. Right. So... I bring this up now as we record this on Tuesday because we've had a few trainers coming out and jockeys giving their thoughts on the race. Of course, the real intriguing element to this race is Duvan, who makes his first appearance since that very disappointing run in the Champion Chase. And a lot of 4-5 with us here at William Hill for the race, clearly priced in, is that little extra layer of uncertainty on this potential superstar. He was a superstar after that. First defeat in this country for Willie Mullins, and he's come back lame that day. He says he's now back to his best, Mullins, and Paul Townend was speaking on the issue today as well, Luke. I mean, it's difficult for me to say to you now, do you think he's going to win? Because, of course, a lot of it depends on unknowns. But let me put it this way. Will you be taking him on?
He wouldn't be a better 4-5 for me, mostly for the fact that you have got the is he back to 100%, and he probably wouldn't need to be 100% to win this race, but I mean, Cheltenham showed us that he isn't infallible. You know, he can be beaten and things can go wrong. If he's back to his best, he'll win this doing handstands, because nothing in the race is good enough to be beating him. The likes of Undersow, I don't think is going to turn up. Fox Norton is going to turn up, as is Politolog, who, if Politolog's beating Duvan and winning a Tingle Creek, you'd be disappointed.
I'm a big fan of Politolog.
Well, is he a Grade 1 horse though?
I think over 2 miles he could be.
It's a bold statement, Mr. Gibby.
I think he's not a Grade 1 horse over further, but they've now found the key to him, which is the minimum trip.
I'm looking forward to seeing Politolog actually run around Sandown, because for me, there's no better sight than a good 2-mile chaser running around Sandown. Have you ever been to Sandown before?
You know what? I haven't been to Sandown since Quarto Star's first Tingle Creek.
Was that when Mick Fitzgerald rode him?
That was... Well, I was about 8 years old at the time, so I probably wasn't taking much attention to jockey bookings, but it was 2004, 2005, that sort of time.
We were very different 8-year-olds.
Yeah.
At Sandown, obviously, on the stands, and anyone that's been there, that UESC, you can see almost... It feels like you're in line with every single fence down the back straight, so you can see the stride that a horse is going to come to, and it's spectacular. I mean, I wasn't there for Songshaware taking on Sprinter Sacra, but that's one of my favourite races of all time. And a lot of Tingle Creeks are. The likes of Moscow Flyer beating Azerty up and World Chief.
That's the one everyone always mentions,
That's the Tingle Creek that everyone goes to thinking this is a damn good race. We're probably not going to get that sort of thing this year, but we have got some good horses, whether they're all going to turn up or not. I mean, the likes of Armad, he'd have a chance if he ran in this race, but he could well go for the Peterborough Chase on Sunday as well. He's also entered there for Gary Moore.
He's been disappointing enough. I know he's had his issues, but the wheels have fallen off a little bit.
I really, really fancied him in a Tingle Creek last year, and I still think he'd have won if he hadn't battered the first railway fence. He made his one mistake of the contest at the complete wrong time, because you make it at the first railway fence, you've then got two fences very quickly to try and make up that ground and sort of restore the equilibrium, which he managed to, but he also lost about 10 lengths in doing so, and then plugged on towards the end of the contest. I still think Armad's a serious horse. It's just whether those issues that he's had, he can overcome them once again, because it's not the first time that have happened. He got injured, of course, when he ran at Plumpton in what was going to be his Arkle trial. He won that very easily in a novice chase after winning the Henry VIII here at Sandown. And then suddenly we didn't see him again till Sandown in the Tingle Creek, and then we didn't see him again for quite a long time. We saw him making his reappearance in the Halden Gold Cup this year.
He's run two times since since he's been prepared for the Arkle, which was Duvan's Arkle, wasn't it? So this is how long ago we're talking about.
Well, the one thing about Ahmad that I'd keep in the back of my mind is that Saïd Agrougi, a couple of times, I think, ran shocking races in the Halden Gold Cup, and then he went on and won at Tingle Creek.
I thought you were about to put Saïd Agrougi up for this one.
No, he wouldn't be winning this race. But Gary Moore has in the past used the Halden Gold Cup as a step towards a Tingle Creek. Whether he's going to do it with Ahmad, whether he's going to run, I'm not 100% sure, but he'd be an interesting runner if he did turn up. And at least him and Politolog, they'd give a good test to Duvan, because there'd be no hiding places. Politolog would go forward, and Ahmad, I'd hope, would go forward as well, try and take advantage of his stamina. Charbel, I think, is going to go for the Peterborough. I think Kim Bailey said him at the races last night, so he wouldn't be one in the contest either. But it's a fascinating race at the moment. I'm not sure who I'd back, to be quite honest.
We haven't mentioned Fox and Norton much so far. Yeah. I was doing this podcast with Rory Delargue a couple of weeks ago, and he said he could not believe he is the price he is for the Champion Chase, which is around about 7-8-1. He says he thinks it should be much, much, much shorter than that. Do you think he is a chaser that now he's won, obviously, the Chalet Chase, some very impressive style. He's established himself as certainly a force in the two-mile chase division. Does that mean he can put it up to Duvan?
He'll run his race.
I don't sound overly infused.
In fairness, Fox Norton's a horse that I've never overly warmed to, and he's proved me wrong many times, so now I'm being quite stubborn about it. But I think he's a horse that will fare better when he goes up in trip, mostly for the fact that he won't have to contend with the likes of Duvan. But, I mean, we're forgetting that he was given his chance at Cheltenham to win a championship.
Oh, he finished second in the championship.
And he finished second. He got beat by Special Tiara.
By a head, though, and he probably should have won it.
Nonetheless, but he still got beaten in it. And that race for me was the day where you go, I think he needs 2.5 miles now. And then he went to Aintree, ran over 2.5 miles and was awesome. He beat Sub-Lieutenant and he beat the whole field senseless, and a good field as well. Then obviously back to Punchestown, he ran against Undersow, beat him pretty comfortably.
I don't think he's going to go for this race, but I do think Undersow is a very, very underrated horse, just because he's bumped into a couple of very special contenders in his time.
The thing about Undersow is that he's the superstar that's been beaten.
Yeah.
Whereas the likes of, I mean, in this day and age in national hunt racing, everyone's terrified of getting their horse beaten.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
It's turning into the flat, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there was one thing Nicky Henderson said at the weekend that I took issue with a little bit. Because he for a long time has been, everything's about Cheltenham now, and it's sad to see. And then he said that Bouvardet's going to go for might go for the Christmas hurdle. And then at the end of the interview he said, well, we don't know what Fahin's going to do next. Why does it matter what Fahin's going to do? Send your horse to the race that suits your horse the most. If we get Bouvardet against Fahin in the Christmas hurdle, brilliant. Then we've got another race outside of the Champion Hurdle.
And I'm not saying that this is necessarily the right logic, but you would think that what Nicky Henderson is thinking is, I'm quite worried I'm going to get beaten by Fahin at Cheltenham. Why do I need to get my horse beaten by him twice in a season, at least?
That might be so, but find out. if you've got faith in your horse, try him. I mean, we've had some brilliant Christmas hurdles over the years, and they're horses that were Champion Hurdle horses that were taking each other on. Why can't we have Fahin taking on Bouvardet at Christmas? And it might still happen.
Make it happen, Nicky.
Exactly. If I highly doubt Nicky Henderson listens to this podcast, and I apologise for calling you out if so. But why couldn't we have Bouvardet running against Fahin in the Christmas hurdle? Why do we have to wait till Cheltenham for all these big clashes to happen? I get that Fahin's based over in Ireland, but if he's going to come over and Bouvardet doesn't go for the Christmas hurdle when he's completely sound, would it not be a bit embarrassing for connections?
Right. For what was supposed to be a conversation about the Single Creek, I know.
I get what you're saying, but it's something that grated on me from the weekend. Why can't we have more big clashes outside of Cheltenham? And we're getting it here with Fox Norton and taking on Duvan.
Brilliant. Now we've gone full circle, come back to the Tingle Creek. It's live on William Hill's Racing Radio on Saturday. Unfortunately, we are out of time for today's Daily Racing Podcast.
Let's talk more.
Luke, thank you for joining us.
It's been a pleasure, John Gibby.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.